Nothing beats the summer of cricket. The tension, the drama, the buzz, and other cliches. But this summer, Triple M takes Test cricket down a new path. The path of FM radio. To say we're excited at the M's is an understatement.
There's plenty of movement from middle stuff.
Now, live from Cricket HQ at the Triple MCG. Wearing the bone, the cream, the beige, the ivory is a dip of the hat to the greats. Triple M rocks Test cricket.
On day three at the Gabba, great to have your company. And this is a Test match that has galloped from the start. Australia 429, electing to bat first when they won the toss. And then carnage late yesterday with the Pakistan team 8 for 97, a mile back in the game of cricket. And a fascinating first session ahead of us today. The two wickets required if they're wrapped up quickly. All the noise is that Australia will bat again and then look to bowl to Pakistan later on tonight when the lights take hold. Kerry O'Keefe's here, as is Brad Haddin. Hello, boys.
G'day, Jim.
Ads, you've taken off to play a game against Hong Kong. You're back. How did that go?
Yeah, it went well. We had a good hit out. We got a couple of 100 and they got 100. So it was... careful, Kerry. Yeah, no, it was a good hit out leading into Big Bash.
Ah, nice. Now, did you get...
He can't be here tomorrow, Jim.
Off again.
Yeah, Cook Islands. Club. Yeah. Apparently, they've got a hot team. Just chasing double tons. That's all he ever does.
We are a bit concerned about the wording of your contract, Hads, by the way, because I don't think I've ever known a man to debut in commentary skull and then bugger off the next day.
No, it's a loose agreement.
I tell you what you don't understand. You guys have got to get with the times. It's a resting policy. You can't do 2 days in a row.
Are you on rotation?
I've been rotating.
Was your wellness chart that high?
I was in the red.
Oh.
Tell me this, Brad Haddin. You've been obviously a massive part of the Australian team in modern times. All the noise is that they will bat once these two wickets fall, even though they're 320 in front.
Yeah, I think they will as well. I think they'll go out and play some shots for the first couple of sessions. But with this pink ball, we've seen how different it is at night time. So keep the bowlers fresh, and I think they can do a lot of damage in the last 2 hours of play.
Well, you missed a lot of it yesterday because you were playing cricket, and perhaps a lot of people out in Triple M land weren't able to pick up on the highlights of day two. It was a cracker. Have a listen. Smith, who comes down high in the air. Fieldsman parked underneath it. And a simple catch at long off drop.
And he drives.
Yes. And there it is.
Boom, shakalaka.
Hanscom's got himself 100.
Into Bird again, and the pull shot high in the air. Maximum!
Got him. That's it. Nathan Lyon has chipped one straight down the throat. And that's it for Australia.
Comes in now.
Anthony's out.
Ali's gone. Stark's breaking through.
Hazelwood comes in and bowls. And this ball is driven.
And it's out.
Yes.
Hazelwood bowls to Khan. And he's foisted the ball.
No.
He's got his first ball.
I can't believe it.
On a hat trick, Josh Hazelwood. And this ball is not out.
Third now.
Edge! And it gets the first slip.
And now the Pakistan captain has gone.
And that's taken. Kawat in the action. How well are they catching the Aussies?
Third now.
Down the left side. He's out. Down the leg side. Aslam tried something different and all he could do was send it fine to Matty Wade.
Oh. He's gone. He's hit straight back to him. Wahab just leaned forward on the ball. And Josh Hazelwood takes the return catch. Edged and it's gone. There's another one. Mitchell Stark's got another one. Yassir's gone.
Triple M rocks Test cricket.
Unique commentary stylings of Mick Molloy there in the background. He's just forgetting he's not at the front bar. He's actually got a microphone wrapped around the front of his face. But, Hads, the other thing that was really noticeable yesterday was how well this Australian team's catching.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a difference in the series. We look at the way Pakistan caught on day one. They dropped Steve Smith on 53, and you can't give opportunities like that to class players. So, and that's one thing Australia's prided itself on for a long time, it's fielding.
Yeah, Khawaja, Renshaw. I hadn't seen much of Renshaw catching in the slips. None of us had Skull, but he looks like he's going to be parked there for a long time.
Looks to have sticky fingers, doesn't he? He took that one low easily. He's a big guy, but he stooped well. No, the cordon's in good nick.
Yep.
With the captain at second and Khawaja, who's not the flashiest stallion in the outfield, but you know, at grip, he goes all right.
Which is important, because if you've got a couple of blokes that aren't as athletic as they probably would like to be, Hads, it's a very good thing if they can catch. Though Renshaw looks to me, I haven't seen enough of him, but he looks to me like he isn't going to be prowling cover like him, like Ricky Ponting. And we know the same with Khawaja. So if they can catch, it's a bonus.
Well, it is a bonus. And I've seen Renshaw move a little around the field, and Khawaja's had his problems in the field. But if we can turn those guys into quality catches, that makes a massive difference with the presence we create in the ring.
And the bowling was very impressive.
Oh, this is a terrific pace attack under these conditions. Stark, Hazelwood, Bird, and line supports really well. But they just challenged the outside edge, and that's been the problem for the Pakistanis. They just haven't covered off stump, and they nicked with those half-forward presses. And, boys, I don't want to get Rain Man on you, but in the Adelaide test, 18 of the 30 wickets fell nicking off,
yep.
60%. In the last Shield day-night game here, 16 of the 30 wickets fell nicking off, over 50%, and 14 of the 18 to fall in 2 days here have been nicking off.
Yep.
So that's in 77%. So unless you're covering off stump like Hanscom and Steve Smith did, you're vulnerable.
But that's the one thing that's surprised me, the way Pakistan were bowling. They were too short or they were too wide. But you've got Mickey Arthur, you've got Steve Rixon in the change room, and they've had enough of this ground to know the length you need to bowl. So I don't really understand their quality attack and why they were so far off on day one.
Because, Hads, I think their length is just back of the length. Whenever I've watched them play overseas, they don't pitch up unless it's going around corners.
Yep.
So their length is too short anyway. They don't get driven down the ground on most pitches they play on. So they're almost conditioned to drop short. Therefore, that middle length, they couldn't find it in this test so far, and they paid a price.
Just that extra metre in the air, not only does it draw the shot you're after, but also allows the ball to swing. And Jackson Bird, a very good example of it yesterday, bowled nice and full and had the ball tailing away. He bowled well, 2 for 7. And we had Nathan Lyon, I felt for Hads. I don't know if you saw it, but a beautiful piece of bowling. Had Sarfraz run past the ball, but it was a lovely piece of spin bowling. Got the drew the player down and then ripped it in between bat and pad, and Matty Wade just wasn't able to complete.
Yeah, it was a disappointing one. I think one of the most important relationships for a spinner is to have confidence in the wicketkeeper, and they had trouble in Matthew's first round of Test cricket. He's got to take those ones, and that's a big play for Nathan Lyon as well, because that changes the length and the areas he bowls if he loses confidence in his wicketkeeper.
All right, boys, you two are going to be in the seat when Howie starts the ball one of this day three. Thanks for that. We're going to get to a break. I've got Mick Molloy coming in shortly. Ishugu is going to come in as well. But there's a groundswell on social media for Mick to call an over of football of cricket, like a ball by ball.
Boom shagalaga.
Yeah, I know. None of us know what's going to happen, so we're going to find out if Mick's up for that next. But Julian Schiller's taken a look at the test match so far. Enjoy.
So it's day three, and what have we learned so far? Will Steve Smith, Matt Renshaw, Pete Hanscom swipe the ball like an 18-year-old Tinder user at schoolies? And our tail, just like Jeff Fenwick in Year 12 English, wagged. The Pakistani batsman came in and looked about as comfortable as James Packer at a Mariah Carey gig, as they face bowling shorter than a Grant Denyer lookalike competition. They start today 8 down, and their innings looks likely to last about as long as, again, an 18-year-old Tinder user at schoolies. Let's face it, the Aussies have this in the bag, but the real start of the show has been Peter Hanscom. He can bat, he can keep, and let's hope he has a bowl, just because personally, I'd love to see a Hans comb over.
Triple M rocks Test cricket.
And we've brought Ishiguro in here, of course, 148 wickets, a very, very fine career with England. Welcome, Ish.
Hey, JB.
Nice to see you.
Good to be here again.
Oh, and gathering, bringing some heat, Ish, too. There's been photographers in here wanting a piece of
Mick. They're all here for you.
What?
All
here paparazzi.
Paparazzi. Mick Molloy and I were trying to prepare, and we're given the lemonade and sauce, basically, Mick, weren't we? Get
aside.
Out of the way.
A couple of feet to the right,
yes. Yes, exactly right. And, of course, Mick Molloy's here, and we heard during the highlights before just the unique commentary stylings of Molloy.
Well, you kind of forget you're in a commentary box, don't you? Just for that moment in time. So, I'm sure I've broken all the rules of etiquette, but I've had a ball. Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
Already starting to get some nice social media feedback on which bit of the Molloy vernacular that the Triple M family are loving the most. Boom shakalak seems to be one. Have some of that.
Have some of that. I don't even remember saying that. Hey, it's been fun. I've learned a lot over the last few days, which is great. I've learned that that Merv Hughes sweats.
Doesn't
a lot.
He?
This has been a
horrific.
They've actually today gone and got him his own set of headphones.
Yep.
So I think that's fantastic news. I've learnt that if when you've got the binoculars out,
yes,
you're more often than not looking at the pool as opposed to the pitch area.
Yes.
So that's something I've learnt.
That's one thing I want to bring up, actually. You guys keep going on about budgie smugglers. I reckon you need to go one step further and try the mankini out, Mick.
The mankini?
No,
yeah, Mick.
No.
Jeez, well, as I
that's
said...
That's the way forward. I'd love to see that.
I bought my own Speedos, or as I call them, the baggy green. And I may wander over there and have a look. If all goes well today, you will see me floating around final session on that. So there we go. Look, Kerry O'Keefe wears his golf shoes.
He does.
To the office.
And he does.
He's a very nice bloke. Here, what else I've learned?
What have you learned?
The difference between Dubai and Abu Dhabi.
And?
Well, in Dubai,
yes,
they love the Flintstones.
Yes.
No, they don't. Well, they do, and... and no.
This is your wheelhouse.
That's the second time I've heard you fail at this joke.
In Dubai, they don't like the Flintstones. Yeah. Abu Dhabi do.
Oh, there we go.
Bang. Bang, there it is. All right, I've learned that Ish does a shithouse version of Wonderwall. That came up early, did it not? Albeit on a poorly tuned guitar from Brett.
Yeah, blame Brett.
He's
blame
handed Brett. You a poison chalice,
yeah,
hasn't
absolutely.
He? What hope did you have?
Well, you have. We have turned you into a cricket commentator who can't tell jokes. You've switched.
Now I'm hopeless in both camps. I can't quite commentate and I can't tell jokes. So here's the other thing I've learned. The etiquette of pitch invasion. Now, we had this discussion off air and I thought it was a beauty. And you made the point, if you're going to invade, we saw one yesterday late in the day, you've got to go the whole hog.
You've got to be nude.
You've got to be nude. You're going to cop an $8,000 fine.
That's it.
You may as well get your money's
and you're chucked out. That's your day's over. So if you're going to go out with a bang.
And come on, you are done. Way to check, please. And I go, if you're going to turn something on for the crowd, I think you're obliged to do that.
Yep.
So if for anyone thinking of pitch invading today, A, don't.
Yes, exactly.
But B, if you do, get the strides on.
Do it properly.
What
about you, Ish? Have you enjoyed your first foray into Triple M rocking Test cricket?
Yeah, it's been great. And I have to say, you guys have been very welcoming. So thank you for that. And you've allowed me to tell my 10-minute stories without getting too upset. And, it's been a lot of fun. It's been great to be one of the lads for a bit.
Did you hear that, Mick? Because Ish was telling us about a meeting with Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
And not only was she rudely interrupted on 1,000 occasions by the two buffoons next to her, she was also trying to tell the story while Nathan Lyon was bowling the fastest over of off-spin of the Test match.
Well, I thought it felt that the cricket should have stopped.
Yeah, I agree.
Until the conclusion of that story, which would have been good. No, the pool's a success. Do you think they're going to participate with this in the future?
What I'm liking, and this is
here he goes, the binoculars.
Hence the binoculars. Is it was a very male-dominated area for the first day.
Yes,
which no one enjoyed. There were blokes over there, to use your words, Mick, in the lolly bags.
Yes,
and they weren't fit to be wearing them either. They were out of condition.
Yep.
But what I've noticed in the last couple of days is the girls have got around it, and that makes it a much better setup.
There's no coincidence that when the girls have got around it, it still looks a pretty good colour late on in the day.
That's right. Not as much wear and tear in the pool as you might. I think they should go further. I think next year we should get a mechanical bull.
Yes.
Out there. That won't be annoying to do anyone, would it? Maybe some skeet shooting.
Well,
that would be fun.
The other thing they could do, Mick, is at the second level, they could put a little platform out where you could have a contest to see who can rip out the best peg leg. Because Ish won't know what a peg leg is, but it's the Australian bommy.
Belly flop.
You could go with a belly whacker if you wore a back whacker, but the peg leg is uniquely Australian, and blokes would have a crack at that, I reckon.
It would be great, and it'd be great to expose you to some of our extreme male Aussie culture. We could get Seven to film another episode of Celebrity Splash down there.
Yes.
Do you remember Celebrity Splash?
I don't.
No one does.
No one does?
The only way they could have made that show any better is if they'd actually drained the pool. Before the celebrities dove into it, I reckon. That would have been eminently wonderful. Here's what else I've learned.
Yes.
It's very weird being sober at the cricket.
No, I know.
And I mean that, not that I never get drunk, but it's funny when you associate a lifetime of going to the cricket with having a beer, drinking sensibly. Not, I don't mean getting drunk, but just having a beer and knocking around and to be in a work environment. It's kind of weird.
Nez, welcome to you. Who have you got?
Thank you very much, JB. Well, I've got Ryan Harris, a former Aussie quick and local Queensland legend with me. Now, Rhino, Josh Hazlewood has the chance today to do what you did, and that is get 100 test wickets in his 24th test. How good is he bowling at the moment?
Yeah, he's on fire, isn't he? Nez, he's accurate, he's fast, he's swinging it. And we just saw last night what he can do in these conditions, especially with the pink ball. And it's a great little, I guess, milestone. You do think about it. People say you don't think about it, but you do. It's a great thing, and I'm sure there's plenty more to come for him.
How disappointed were you with the Pakistanis in the last session last night?
Yeah, they're really disappointing. I thought they fought really well. The young opener, Sammy, batted really well. I thought he copped a couple in the head as well, which was tough for him to keep going. He didn't really flinch, so. Yeah, just to see him sort of let it go and undo all that hard work was really disappointing. I thought, they're number one team in the world. I thought they'd put up a bit more of a show, but just shows you that no one likes playing on these hard bouncing wickets from the subcontinent.
What are you doing with yourself these days, please, Ryan Osiris?
G'day, Bray. Just doing some coaching, mate. I've just got back yesterday from Adelaide from the Under-19 Championships. I had the young CA Under-17-11 down there, and we performed very well. So just stay in the game and help the kids out.
And I can't see you from where I'm sitting here. What sort of nick are you in, please? Because you always had the ability to just expand a touch.
And you always had the ability to remind me of that as well. But I'm actually going all right. Considering what I may have drank over the last 2 years and eaten, I'm actually in good nick.
Well, I'm backing him up.
Very good.
On that, Rhino, Mick Molloy here. Yeah, as a man after my own heart, what time is acceptable to knock the top off your first beer here at the Gabba?
Well, you've already delayed me by me doing this. So, I'll be going around straight away.
Fair call. We'll hurry this up.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Rhino, on a serious note, we are always staggered at the bowlers, international bowlers, when they come here and get the length so wrong. You are very, very good at getting the ball full and swinging it away. Why is it that these international bowlers, especially at the Gabba and the Wacker, seem to get it wrong every time?
Yeah, you're spot on, Bray. I'm really surprised with it, with Mickey Arthur being there and also Steve Rixon. So two guys that would know this ground or do know this ground very well. Although it's fast and bouncy, it is quite hard to bowl them because you do have a tendency just to throw the ball up or float the ball up and not bowl the ball up. And by doing that, if you throw one up, you think you've bowled a half volley, you've got to pull it back, and it's obviously too short. And I think a lot of guys do that. So every team does it, especially the subcontinent sort of guys, the Asian guys who, they've got a very good bowling attack, but I think they pitched it up in the middle session last night, and that's when they got 6 for 60. So, I'm surprised. They spent enough time, in the nets here before the test match, and the nets are very similar how they don't get it right, but everyone seems to do it.
Yes, you got some test wickets, Nez, in this conversation now. Not only the plenty that Ryan Harris took, only 27 tests, which is staggering, but
incredible.
Strike rate, one of the all-time greats. Merv Hughes and Brett Lee down there as well.
Absolutely. Brett, what do you expect the Aussies to do and what should they do? Enforce a follow-on here?
Well, if they would have got that wicket last night, I would have said yes. But being 8 for 97, I think they'll try and wrap up these two wickets as soon as possible. Probably have a bat. Purely the fact is to take a bit of time to give the bowlers a bit of a break. And then as the sun's starting to go down, unleash the fury of Hazlewood and Stark again.
Merv, what about the conditions? Because there is a chance of a thunderstorm a little bit later today.
Rain forecast tomorrow and again on Monday, but there's still plenty of time. So for the Australians, there's no need to panic. And I just think, personally, with the way they went about it yesterday, the Pakistanis didn't like it. And like Ryan said, they came over from playing on the slow, low wickets in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, to New Zealand. They come here. Our bowlers are a little bit taller. They're a little bit quicker. And they were just beaten for pace and bounce. So I wouldn't be surprised if Smith changes his mind. If we pick up two wickets quickly, they might just insert.
Now, you're a man that the crowd always loved, Merv, and last night we saw them just loving Nathan Lyon. They're saying he's the most popular Lyon here since Michael Voss. What did you make of the crowd just getting around him?
Well, I think he's the underdog, isn't he? Every time there's a talk about the Australian team, and even going into this test match, he wasn't going to play. He does a great job for the Australians, and the big thing about him, I reckon people don't realise how good he's been over the time, and what I'd like to see him do is be a little bit more aggressive, throw the ball up and be an attacking leg spinner rather than a defensive leg spinner. And his role's changed within the Australian side over the last couple of years. But, mate, the crowd loves him because I reckon he's on the edge of the seat. Every time the selection comes up, his name is thrown up to be dropped from the Australian side, and that shouldn't be the case.
Hey, Merv.
Yes.
How does it feel to be the third fastest bowler in a conversation?
Well, I am offended by that suggestion. Thank you very much, JB.
Well, I think that's a little bit harsh, JB, because obviously you didn't. Did you play? You would have played against Brett Lee.
Mate, no, military, I didn't. I played against
military
Ryan.
Medium at best. And then you got Ryan Harris. Now, he wasn't bad. He came in as a 32-year-old when he first started playing first-class cricket. So, listen, he had a little bit of an edge on a young 18-year-old. So, listen, I can cop that.
Done a great job down there for California Sports Services, of course. World-class services for schools, homes and clubs.
Very brave, JB, when Merv's down there on the ground. Up here in the commentary.
Bravery was never a strong suit.
Glorious afternoon at the Gabba. The sun is shining. A middling crowd in at the moment. We're at the short 20-minute tea break, the dinner break later on this afternoon. If you're just joining and catching up on the cricket news, Australia in their first innings were all out for 429. Smith 130. Peter Hanscom made 105. Pakistan lost their last couple of wickets this morning to be bowled out for 142. The standout there was the wicketkeeper, Safraz Ahmed. Not out 59 from 64 deliveries. Strike at 92.18, if you don't mind. The wickets, 3 for 63 to Stark, 3 for 22 to Hazelwood, 3 for 23 for Jackson Bird, and a run out. And then Australia in the second innings, David Warner. Court Riaz bowled Mohammad Amir at mid-on after a pull shot got high on his bat. He was out for 12 off just 8 deliveries. And Matt Renshaw tried to work one through the leg side, got a leading edge, and was caught by Yunus Khan, bowled Ali for 6. The not-out batsman, Khawaja, on 13. Stephen Smith not out on 8. Australia 2 for 40, currently leading by 327 runs. Mark Howard with you, rocking Test cricket on Triple M. Kerry O'Keefe and this man, Mick Molloy, who is about to, I'm told, bring a very, very big guest to the table, Mick.
That's right. There's nothing like a sporting occasion to flush out a politician. We know they're like moths to a flame. They love it, and especially with our prime ministers over the years. We've had many who you'd consider to be cricket tragics. John Howard, who, of course, famously used to pop on the tracksuit just to watch a World Cup game. You'd remember that, Kerry?
And come to cricket tests. Normally when they had a policy they wanted to sell.
That's right. And we've seen him roll the arm over in India, John Howard. We know what he's like. But I have it on a good authority that our current PM is the most tragic of all cricket followers. And we welcome him to Triple M now to help us launch Test Cricket on Triple L. Welcome, Malcolm Turnbull.
Thank you very much, Markle. And it's lovely to join you and Howie. And hello to you too, Skull. I did enjoy my time on Willow Talk the other evening. And I look forward to joining you again. Now, I might just hasten to add here that I would never wear a tracksuit. I'm in a pair of chinos, some lovely loafers from the Amalfi Coast, and a linen shirt that was woven by some children in China. So I'll never wear the tracksuit, the green and gold. I don't get quite as aroused at cricket as John Winston Hard.
No,
I've got to say, but what a day's play it's been already.
Yes, no one wants to see you pitching a tent in your tracksuit pants.
No, that's right.
Can I ask you, what did you think of Stephen Smith not enforcing the follow-on? You followed this closely. What's your opinion?
Well, from a political point of view, when, you know, they're down, you put your foot on their throat. You choke the life out of them. I mean, Pakistan's cricketing batting lineup is as tenuous as my hold on power, and they're fragile. So I would have gone the whole hog. Maybe he's banking on the rain. And when I read that, I thought, well, maybe he's joined the National Party. They're always talking about the rain, aren't they? That's maybe he's going for a bailout. But I would have gone for kill them while you can. Like, you know, if Tit Shorten shows a bit of fragility, I'll go him. I'll take him out. And that's what you've got to do with your cricketing counterpart. So I would have
Fair call.
It's Skull here, PM. I too enjoyed our chat on Willow Talk. Thanks for coming on. It gave the show great gravitas. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, I enjoy you, Skull. You're a man of great integrity. You've always shown great alacrity when it comes to describing the wonderful sport that is cricket. So good on you.
Oh, thank you very much indeed. But your job is considered the most important, but captain of the Australian cricket team, second most important. Do you see that as the one too?
Well, I think it's a quaint notion that the Australian cricket captain is of any importance in Australia compared to the Prime Minister. I mean, I'm leading the country. I don't get to pad up and wear a helmet when I go into Parliament to get my head kicked, or wear a box when the media are aiming for my Jats crackers. I mean, it's nice to be able to wear some protection to work, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a game that's enjoyed by a lot of ordinary Australians, working class, right through to the elite. And it's good to see the normal hoi polloi enjoying themselves out there. You know, they're innovators, wearing watermelons as helmets, dressing up as Richie Beno. I think it's all terrific stuff. I wouldn't be caught dead out there, but I enjoy watching it on the television and listening to Triple M's coverage of summer cricket too.
We've got a pool here at the ground today. I'd love to see Titch Shorten bobbing around in there, possibly maybe in the last session. That would be fun.
Come up in. And well, they got some bikini girls down there. I would have thought that was... What's going on with a pool at the cricket? I mean, dangerous after 75 4Xs, I would have thought, and a bit of sunstroke. But, you know, it's becoming like the spring racing carnival, isn't it? Lots of devices to enhance people along. And I like the pink ball, too. I think that it talks about equality, marriage equality, and equality across the board.
Very good. Hey, now, listen, I have to ask you. Tony Abbott recently revealed he'd read 50 Shades of Grey. Didn't like it. Surprising. Have you read it?
Well, I have, Michael. I've read all three volumes of 50 Shades of Grey. Lucy and I are into a little bit of mild BDSM, some ribbon work. and why not? You've got to fruit things up in the boudoir after so many years together. I met her when she was 20 and I was 22. And we have a great deal of affection. I don't want to think about Tony and Margie, though, in some kind of erotic encounter. I mean, that would really put you off your foie gras. But I think that the big mistake here was Tony was going through the airport and he saw 50 Shades of Grey and he thought it was an unauthorised biography about him. So, I mean, you couldn't get a more boring man. Right now, as we speak, he's probably paddling in front of the Manly ferry, and I'd like to say to the captain of that ferry, run him over. I'm not kidding.
Very good.
Christopher Pyne is in trouble again, PM, over the $50 billion submarines. What's going on there?
Well, Christopher Pyne was in France. $50 billion for submarines, really. Are we doing this? I mean, we bought some boats in South Australia. And, I mean, they didn't even vote for us in the end. So, really, I could think of a lot of other things I'd like to spend $50 billion on. And why are we getting submarines? Who are we creeping up on, Skull? Tuvalu? You know, we're trying to take Conga by stealth, are we? For goodness sake, and Christopher's over there mincing around like the powdered poodle that he is. When I saw him in that factory, I've got to say I was shocked because I didn't know that there were factories in France. I'm normally in Burgundy having a nice Beaujolais. And there you are, French workers in a factory.
Well,
who knew?
Malcolm Turnbull, thank you for joining us. It's been memorable for you to join us on our first hit out with Test cricket. Are you going to give us a Triple M Rocks the Gabba, possibly?
Absolutely. I've got to actually scurry because I've just heard from the captain of my yacht. The spinnaker's got a tear in it. We've got to get that fixed before Christmas. So thank you very much for having me on, and I'd just like to say the Triple M Rock Summer Cricket. Good on you guys. You're great constituents and fine fellows.
Great to have the Prime Minister of Australia, Malcolm Turnbull, on. I think Lawrence Mooney, his good friend, organised him to join us on Triple M Test Cricket. Mark Howard with you, and at this time in the last few nights, we've had a chat to some of our superstar commentators. We started with Kerry O'Keefe. Last night, we moved on to Merv Hughes, and tonight it's our great pleasure to welcome Binger Brett Lee. Hello, Bing.
Mark, how are you?
Oh, Mark, don't call me that. I feel very formal. I have to call you Brett. Great to see you, and you've done a wonderful job on Triple M commentary. Obviously, cricket's been a massive part of your life. When did you first start playing cricket, and where was that?
We were born on the south coast, about 2 hours out of Sydney. Myself and two brothers, older brother Shaney, younger brother Grant, grew up in a very normal house. We played backyard cricket, but about the age of nine was where I sort of fell in love with cricket. My brother Shane came home and threw the tennis ball to me and said, bowl. And that was it. So Shane, being the older brother, gets the bat. I got to bowl and my younger brother got the field.
Were you always a fast bowler?
Well, I couldn't bat.
Right.
Couldn't bowl spin, so fast bowling was my only option. But no, that's just what came naturally, I guess. You know, we're probably lucky through the genes being passed on from my mother. She was a sprinter. Very quick runner over the 100 metres. So I guess we got those fast twitch fibres from mum. She's not that quick anymore, she reckons, but it was, to me, fun and exciting to see running in and seeing the stumps shattered, seeing the ball get nicked through and the keeper catching it, and it just excited me to bowl fast.
Were you one of those kids that the opposition had come up against, in all serious, don't be modest, were you one of those kids when say, oh, we're playing against Brett Lee today, he's so fast in the under-14s or under-16s or in the junior cricket? You know, you had those guys with, oh, this guy, he's a tearaway.
Yeah, look, I was probably trying to be the fastest. It probably was the fastest in each age group when I was coming through because that was my strength. You know, my strength was my pace, you know, to run in and to try to be quicker than anybody else. I was always very short at school. Had size 12 feet in about year 7,
right.
And they told me I was going to grow and get taller and start to fill out. But about the age of 16 was where playing for Campbelltown with my brother Shane, and he finally gave me the wind. He was captain. He'd open the bowling with me. I'd be on, you know, the second over. And at the age of 16, he said, look, you know, you're quicker than me now. You can take the wind. And that was where I suppose I got my confidence and started to really let the ball fly.
There's all sorts of records that you've been involved in. And I think it's Shoaib Akhtar's got the quickest ever recorded ball in Test cricket at 161.3. You played a charity game. It might have been against the West Indies, and you were clocked at 161.8 kilometres an hour. It's not an official record because it was a charity game.
Yep.
What's it like to bowl genuinely fast? The top three or four bowlers in the history of the game. What's it like when it's all happening for you and the ball is coming out at 160 clicks?
That's a great question, Howard, because it's very hard to explain the difference between facing a ball at 120 k's or 130 k's per hour and then 160. There's a difference between 130, 140. Then from 140 to 150, there's a huge difference in terms of lack of time. 150 to 160 is that next barrier. Mm. It's just where you rush for time. I faced Shoaib Akhtar bowling, you know, super quick, and you've got roughly around 0.3 to 0.4 of a second to make up your mind. But in order to bowl that 160k per hour, which was my dream at the age of nine, I said to mum and dad, my dream is to wear the baggy green cap and bowl 160 k's per hour at the age of nine. That's what I wanted to do. But in order to do that, it had to click. It had to be the right day. The rhythm running in had to be poetry. You know, to land on the front foot, your spikes had to make sure that they grip perfectly. You had to pull down with your front arm. It doesn't happen all that often. So when it does click and you look up and you see 160 on the scoreboard, it's like, well, it's a special moment. It's almost like the four-minute mile, once that's been crossed. And I'm hoping that other people, you know, will be able to achieve that goal. It's a great goal. I'm so proud I've achieved it. Obviously, fast bowling isn't what it's all about. You've got to take wickets. But hitting that 160 barrier to me personally was, you know, a dream come true and a huge goal.
With sprinters, it's interesting you mentioned that. It was always sort of that 9.8, 9.7 in my time. Then Usain Bolt came along with the 9.57. Do you see a speed that we're not seeing at the moment? Can someone come along and bowl at 165 kilometres an hour?
I don't see why not. Look, 165, you'd have to be seriously in some serious good shape, that momentum through the crease. I don't believe they're training the way that they should be training in order to bowl that pace. And that's probably the reason why we haven't seen, other than Mitchell Starc recently, consistently hitting 150. You know, where I guess now looking and watching bowlers bowl at 140 k's or 135 k's and going, great pace, good pace. And it is good pace, but it's not express pace. I've always said that what the, I guess, coaching staff are doing now, they're putting fast bowlers on a very heavy weight program, protecting them more, not letting them bowl enough. In order to bowl 160 k's, you've got to be bowling nearly every single day. Light weights, a lot of cardio, and just making sure that you're strong in the areas that matter most. That's your back, your abdominals, you know, your glutes. But you get that strength mainly from bowling. And bowling in the nets and then bowling in shield cricket or first grade cricket is where you build up that momentum and also that strength.
Mark Howard chatting with Brett Lee about his career and all things cricket as Triple M rocks Test cricket. The Aussies are 5 for 202 at the dinner break, and they've got a big lead in this match. All right, you made your debut. I think you got 5 for against the Indians, and you were big. You were blonde, you were fast, you were successful. How do you keep grounded in that situation, Brett, when people, girls, businesses, money are being thrown at you? How do you stay true to yourself? And did you stay true to yourself?
Yeah, and I've got two amazing parents, Mum and Dad, Helen and Bob. They are, so close to... We're such a tight family. No matter where I am in the world, I'll speak to Mum and Dad every single day.
Do you really?
Yeah, and we go down the South Coast and stay with Mum and Dad, and we've got a great relationship. They have pretty much given up their whole entire life to give us the opportunity to play cricket, and they were proud of us whether we played fifth grade for Mossman or go on one day to play for our country, which luckily we did. Myself, my brother Shane, Grant academically, he's done so well in his chosen fields. But look, it's just, I've always said that you don't want to do something that if your parents are reading on the front page, or you know when you've done wrong. Yep. And you know, I'm not perfect. I've done things on the cricket field. I sent a batsman off once and swore at a batsman and got fined and should have got fined for it as well. I learned from that because you've got to understand too that we're going out, there are millions of kids around the world watching sports people. Not everyone's a great role model. I want to be a great role model. I want to be, you know, someone that, you know, the kids can look up to. But I think it's the way you're brought up. You know, my parents have always drilled into me as a young kid, manners are the most important thing. You know, you respect people. You never think you're better than anybody else. And we're just people from, you know, what's classed as sort of rural country area down at Mount Warrigal. And, yeah, we just love it. But I've been a bit of an actor. That's what it's like. You know, when you're out on the cricket field, I sort of see myself as Brett Lee, the cricketer. I'm an actor. Away from the field, I'm just me. I'm a completely different person than what I am on the field.
And a lovely chap you are off the field, and I'm sure you're ferocious on the field. You had so much success in cricket, won World Cups and plenty of big series wins and being involved in arguably one of the greatest cricket teams of all time. What's been the biggest low you've had on the cricket field?
There's been a lot of lows. Probably getting injured. When you have been injured, and I've had 12 operations playing sport, and they're all been mainly structural, you know, through my elbow, through trying to throw too hard from the outfield. I completely snapped my arm in half against Zimbabwe at the Wacker.
Throwing a ball,
yeah, against the Fremantle Docker, going for a run out. I've had 6 ankle operations, broken my back twice. When I fought so hard to get back in the Australian cricket team, and I think it was my first game back after my back injury, and that's when I threw my arm out, snapped it in half. To me, that was one of the most horrible moments because I felt like I let my team down. You know, Steve Waugh had backed me to be fit, to get back in the team, and trusted that I was ready to go, which I was, and then you get this freak accident. So that was really tough. You know, or if you bowl bad and you feel as though you've let the team down, drop catches, all those things that every cricketer around the world goes through. But probably getting injured, not being able to bowl the next innings is probably the hardest thing to swallow.
Away from cricket, obviously you're a father of your young son, Preston, who's, you were telling me yesterday, he's pretty obsessed with cricket.
And loves cricket,
you've
yeah.
got a beautiful young daughter now, and I just read in the paper, actually reading about that you'd bought a $5-point-something million house. I don't know how closely that was reported, but things are going okay. The thing I've always admired about you, Brett, and I mentioned this to you on radio not too long ago, and I think you thought I was taking it out of you, but I wasn't. The fact that you've gone and done what you've done in India, and you've understood your brand, but you've gone over there and put yourself out there and you've been involved in a movie recently, and people have a laugh and a joke about that.
Yep.
I truly think that's fantastic that you've put yourself out of your comfort zone to do something like that.
Yeah, look, and thanks for that. Look, but I've always lived my life, and I take the mickey out of myself more than probably anyone does. And, you know, you've got to have fun in this life and you've got to enjoy yourself. You can't take yourself too seriously. But I've always been one to think that I don't want to get to the age of, well, I used to always say 40, but now I've reached that mark. I might have to sort of upgrade now and go to 50.
Push it on a bit.
I didn't want to get to the age of 50 and think I had an opportunity to do a movie or a song and not take that opportunity. And I'm not trying to be, you know, the next rock star. I'm not trying to be the next big actor. I know I'm not going to be that. But if I got an opportunity to do it, well, why not have a go? And I love doing it. Yeah, you know, you get poked fun at for doing a cheesy romantic love song, which is half Hindi and half English, and so I should. But that doesn't faze me. You know, I've done it, and I say to a lot of people that sledge me about it, I say, well, how many number one songs have you got in India? And I'd say it with a very cheeky smile on my face. But look, I love life, I enjoy myself, and I want to try new things. People see you, and I guess they put you into a box. When you play sport, they see you as only a cricketer. They think that you're only a fast bowler, but to me, I don't watch a lot of sport. I don't watch cricket when I'm not playing or working on the game or commentating, which I love doing whilst I'm here. And I've certainly, the last 2 days, the last 2 days have been my favourite working on cricket, commentating with Triple M. It's just been a different way to do it. We hope that everyone out there listening in has enjoyed our, you know, commentary. I've certainly had fun, but, you know, it's all about trying new things. You know, I love fashion. I love going out and doing fishing. I love to do things away from cricket. And I believe if you pigeonhole yourself or if you're only interested in one thing, then, you know, you're going to be a pretty boring person.
Just before we let you go, I'm really enjoying this discussion. Australia lead by 489 with 5 wickets to go in the second innings. Mark Howard having a chat to Brett Lee on Triple M Test Cricket. Movies. Now, when you have to get in there and film a romantic scene, Brett,
yep.
how does that play out, please?
Have we run out of time?
Well, no, we've just can squeeze this in. When you have to do a bit of smoochy on the big stage, how does that go?
It's hard, doing that the awkward scene or the kissing scene. I spoke to my lovely wife, Lana, and said, look, this is what they're thinking. It's a romantic comedy. There will be that involved. And she said, look, go for it. You know, you're doing this opportunity. It's a great opportunity for you to keep furthering your skills. And I had to do it. And I did it. And I was made to feel embarrassed at the start, but it was fine. It was all done tastefully.
Do you clean your teeth?
As you can see now, I'm probably going red. But
do you have a couple of mints?
Oh, mints, lots of mints, mate. More mints than the South Africans. But it was awkward but fun.
Brett, I really appreciate having a chat with you. I know everyone's been loving listening to you on Triple M Test Cricket, mate, and we'll continue to hear you throughout the summer, which is fantastic.
Likewise, how are you doing? A great job. Thanks, mate.
Some news has just come through, Brett, that the Australians have declared at the dinner break at the score at 5 for 202. So Petey Hanscom not out on 35. His average will continue to go through the roof. So that means the Pakistanis, it's a very unlikely target, but they will be chasing a tally of 490 to win the test match.
Plenty.
Yeah, plenty. So Australia will get the opportunity with Stark and Hazelwood with the pink ball under lights, which is where it's really started to hoop around and cause some problems. So I don't think I'd like to be opening the batting for Pakistan. For Nearmap, Australia's leading provider of aerial imagery and location content. I'm not sure if we're going to the ground or to the pool, Nearly Meadows and Julian Schiller. Nez.
Yes, we're on the pool deck, and we'll get to the people in the pool in a second. But first of all, the state of the pool, Jules. Can you describe it?
Well, look, if I had a choice between drinking this and some water from Chernobyl, I reckon I'd pick the latter at the moment. Someone just poured a couple of litres of chlorine in there. So, look, they are keeping it safe. The public are liking it, and unsurprisingly, Nez, because there's a bit of alcohol, a bit of frivolity, a lot of Triple M listeners are down here.
It's a lot more opaque than it is translucent, let's put it that way. And the people surrounding the pool deck and in the pool, you've had a few interactions.
I have. A lot of Triple M listeners here, as I said. Some guy said, I listen to you on the M's, and Jules, I really like you, and I've always wondered what you look like. And I said, so Dwayne, what do you reckon? And he says, middle-aged and man boobs. So it's, it's the last time I'm going to ask that question. And Nez and Howie, I'm not joking, someone offered me $50 if I could smuggle in a Chiquito bar. I haven't taken that up because we don't want to clear the pool just yet.
Come on,
all right,
Jules.
Let's actually have a chat to one of these blokes in the pool. Jules, I'm going to let you describe him because he's been here for a couple of hours now.
All right, let's get him to describe himself. We've got Dave, who is actually in the pool. G'day, Dave. Can you describe what you're wearing?
How are you, Jules? Mate, got the pool vest, got the fluoro vest, the snorkel, the mask, the pink fluoro hat. I'm ready to go. How good is this?
How's the snorkel? You've actually been underwater?
Oh, mate, I've had a quick swim, but it's a bit rusty in there. But I'm in Queensland. Gabba, cricket, poolside, beautiful one day, perfect the next. Queensland, love it.
Dave is loving it there with his life vest and his snorkel. Look, it is fantastic down here, I have to say. People are loving it. Are you loving the pool? There's your answer, guys. It is great down here. I think I might hang in here and get into my Euro trunks. Howie, there's a visual image for all the ladies. It's back to you in the studio.
Yeah, thanks, Jules. The Euro trunks, I'm not sure exactly that's what we're after. While Nearly is down there, put your news hat on, Nearly, and your weather hat. There was some discussion earlier on today about showers later on tonight. Have you got an update?
It's interesting because there's only blue skies ahead, but as we know, up here in Queensland, the weather can change quickly, and there is still a very high chance of a thunderstorm or shower this evening. Hopefully, the Aussies can get a rattle on through the Pakistani top order before those hit, but because as of tomorrow there are very, very high chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning and throughout the afternoon, so we may actually struggle to get a whole heap of play in tomorrow if that is to transpire.
There's a wonderful journalist. You do a lot of work for Fox Sports on their news channels and their various sports. You do a wonderful job on Triple M. Nick Maddison missed out again. There's some poison pens in cricket. As far as I'm concerned, reading the articles, what will they be saying about Nick Maddison tomorrow, do you think?
Oh, look, he's under pressure. We spoke to Mike Hussey and Ryan Harris on Fox Sports News this morning. He's under an immense amount of pressure because, let's be honest, Sean Marsh is knocking on the door the moment that he is fit. He's done it before when he's only had one big bash innings to get back into the test side. He's done it before and then played well in the test side on Boxing Day. So Sean Marsh is certainly in the mix for this. If he can overcome that broken finger, he's done nothing wrong in the test fold while he's been in it. He's just, you know, we've got to feel sorry for him. The hammies, the broken finger, he's had all sorts of poor luck, and they have made it clear that even though his last dig was as an opener, he certainly can come in anywhere in that top six, and Wolf and Stephen Smith have made that very clear when they've selected these teams. So if Sean Marsh is right to go, Nick Maddison, scores of 0, 1 and 4, he's in trouble.
All right, Nez, appreciate your work down there, filling all sorts of roles for us, Nerily Meadow and Julian Schiller on Triple M. Now, we've got a nice little competition we spoke about earlier on today where you can get tickets to day one of the Boxing Day test at the MCG. If you don't mind, text your best cricket sledge to 197 19777. I'll say that number again in a moment if you want to grab a pen or a phone. Your best cricket sledge to 197 19777 for the chance to take a mate to the biggest day on the cricket calendar. SMS just costs 55 cents. We'll take you to day one of the Boxing Day test if you live outside Victoria. We'll throw in flights and accommodation as well. I've got a few little texts in here on that number, 197 19777, various sledges. Steve from Melbourne, put it on his nose or take out his nose. Not too bad. Put it on his toes or take out his nose. Steve from Melbourne. Marcus from Sydney, better buckle up, boys. This fella can't drive. Pete from Adelaide, this guy should be on the front page of the No Idea. Brett Lee chuckling away in the background. This is my favourite at the moment. Matty from Brisbane, this bloke had more misses than Hugh Hefner. I don't mind that from Matty from Brisbane. So your best cricket sledge to 197 19777. You can take your mate or your mates to the biggest day on the cricket calendar, the Boxing Day test at the MCG. So Yunus Khan will sleep on zero off 19 deliveries. Azhar's 41. Pakistan chasing 490 and still 420 behind that. 2 for 70. The bowling figures, Mitchell Stark has got through 8 overs, 3 maidens, 1 for 28. Josh Hazlewood, if you don't mind, 11 overs, 8 maidens, none for 5. Nathan Lyon, 6 overs, 2 maidens, 1 for 13. And Jackson Bird has bowled his 8 overs, 3 maidens, none for 24. So Pakistan 2 for 70 at the end of day 3, chasing 490.
Australia certainly on the front foot here. And they came out in their second innings. Warner, Renshaw, well, it was Warner who started off in electrifying fashion, but then he was out for 12. Khawaja wasn't the most fluent innings, but he did his job, got 70-odd. Smith, 63, and Hanscom looking good once again in the middle with 35. Maddison had to do his job. He hit a 4 and then he got out. Tough times for him in Test cricket, but he was playing for the team and gave Australia exactly what they needed, the chance to bowl at Pakistan for the evening session, which is what they've been able to do. Haven't been able to get as much movement as last night. Pakistan probably played a little bit better, and so it all sets up for day 4.
We'll now go down, thanks to Channel 9 and Mark Taylor, speaking to the Australian captain, Steve Smith.
But yeah, I thought we worked hard today, got ourselves in front of the game, and yeah, we're in a good position still. Hopefully we can come out in the morning, hit good areas and take a few early ones.
You got more wickets in this similar time last night. Did better batting from Pakistan tonight, or did the ball just do a bit less?
Probably a bit of both. Yeah, they applied themselves pretty well. I thought Azhar Ali batted nicely tonight, left really well and had a good defence, which you need on this kind of wicket in the night. So, yeah, hopefully we can exploit it tomorrow. Bowl good areas, build a bit of pressure and hopefully get some rewards.
Go back to the start of the day. You had Pakistan a long way behind. You must have been tossing up whether to enforce the follow-on or not. Any second thoughts now at 2 for 70?
No, not really. You know, I sort of always wanted to bowl in the night. We saw the other night that, you know, things can happen quite quickly. You know, we beat the edge a few times tonight. If on another day, you might nick those. So, no, that was the plan from the start of the day. And, yeah, as I said, hopefully we can start well tomorrow, build a bit of pressure and get a few early ones and get on a bit of a roll.
And Nathan Lyon getting a few to turn also.
Yeah, he bowled nicely tonight. I thought he bowled a good area and a bit of turn, bit of bounce, and then one to skid that got the edge as well after the ball change, which was nice. So, I thought the bowlers did pretty well tonight. We probably bowled a little bit short at times, but that's something we can work on tomorrow.
And just more runs for you as well.
Yeah, it's nice to score a few more today. Felt really good again, so hopefully I can keep cashing in this summer.
Well, mate, wish you well tomorrow, mate. Thanks for your time again.
Thanks, Dub.
Thank you to Channel 9, Mark Taylor and Steve Smith. So the Pakistanis are 2 for 70, chasing an unlikely 490 to win. Narrowly Meadows is down to the ground. Narrowly, I know you're very influential down there, and I know there's a lot of rock star batsmen, but for mine, there's only one man to speak to, and that's the local hero up here now, Nathan Lyon. Please tell me you have him.
Nathan Lyon. Talk us through it. This crowd has never loved a man as much as they're loving you right now. Have you ever experienced anything quite like it?
No, it's just good to see him start the sport in New South Wales, so hopefully I'll do that in the Origin. So.
There are shirts that say, "Nice Gary." Do you love or do you loathe Matthew Wade?
No, it's definitely got legs, so it's getting pretty exciting. It's awesome to have that support behind us, so if we can do that, and hopefully they turn out tomorrow and get us over the line.
Talk us through your personal breakthrough. They were going mental here. Talk us through the wicket.
I was lucky enough to change the ball and one skidded straight on, and lucky enough Steve held on to one, so pretty lucky.
Were you ever worried that you wouldn't be playing?
No. I told you guys that last week that I've played 6 test matches up here and you guys write the same story over and over, so I was always playing in my book.
It's always my fault, Howie. Over to you, boys.
No, well, you got the poison pen down there narrowly. Nathan, it's Howie up here. Congratulations on the team performance today. Looked like you're getting a serious amount of bounce up there today from your end. You're bowling nicely.
Thanks, Howie. It's an awesome place to play cricket. I love playing test match cricket here, so it's just good to contribute to one step to hopefully a victory for Australia.
Nathan, Jules Schiller here. You're almost bigger in Queensland than Bundy. Like, it's the crowd is absolutely going nuts. Are you seeing a possible entertainment career after this? Maybe a walk-on role in Home and Away?
Potentially. But we're just going to have to weigh it up. I know the boys are into me about it, but there's plenty of options around the corner, hopefully.
Nathan, it's an unusual situation now, finishing at 20-9 local time. What's the situation from here, and what time have you been able to get some shut-eye? Because I'd imagine you're pretty pumped up and you just can't go down and jump into bed as you normally do.
Yeah, no, Mitch Stark and I have been going to get dinner about 10 o'clock at night, so and after the adrenaline wears off, about the bed about 1 o'clock, so it's a different one, but it's an unbelievable concept, and to have 20,000 people a day here at the Gabba has been fantastic.
Tomorrow, obviously, the big wicket of Yunus Khan. He's been out of form. He took a long time today. Couldn't get off the mark. You'd be wanting to pressure him early, I would have thought.
Definitely he's a world-class batter. You just look at his record for that. So he's a big wicket for us, but there's a few other guys there that are big wickets as well. So if we can come out, bowl well in partnerships, and hopefully we can get an Australian victory tomorrow.
All right, as Matty Wade says 1,000 times each day, bowl, Gaz. We appreciate your time. Well bowled today.
Thanks, boys.
Great to speak to Nathan Lyon. Thank you to Narrowly Meadows, doing a wonderful job down there. Chu, have you got something for me back there? Sort of maybe a statistical analysis wrap?
Yeah, just some quick numbers in summary. Pakistan earlier today all out for 142. In fact, their last two wickets netted 75 runs. Sarfraz Ahmed, 59 not out, which saw Pakistan trailing by 287. As you mentioned before, Howie, the Aussies declared at 5 for 202. Thanks, Brett. He's got a little torchlight here because we've got the lights off here in the comm box. Khawaja, 74. Smith, 63. So that meant the Aussies were commanding a lead of 489. And as we know, Pakistan finished the day 2 for 70. Azhar Ali, I should say, 41 not out. Yunus Khan yet to get off the mark, and he's faced 19 balls. Thanks for your assistance, guys.
Very well done, Chu. Just a couple of thoughts from you, Brad Haddin, and you, Ishigua.
Yeah, sets up for Australia tomorrow, that's for sure. They've got an opportunity here to win this first test, and it will be interesting to see how Azhar Ali comes out and plays, that's for sure. He's a quality batsman. It's going to be a nice sunny day, hopefully. We do hear that there is a bit of rain forecast, but if it is nice, there's not too many clouds around, then it'd be a nice day for batting once again.
Looks like there's a bit of rain coming down now, so we just snuck in time. They've got the covers on their heads. Pretty enterprising day for Australia. It's a big, big trip now for the Pakistanis.
Yeah, it's been a great day for Australia. We've put ourselves in a position to control this game, basically. But I think the most important bowler tomorrow is actually Nathan Lyon. The first two sessions are going to be the best time to bat. So I think Nathan Lyon's going to do a lot of bowling tomorrow to tie up one end, build a lot of pressure like we've seen a little bit from Jackson's Bird, and roll our quicks from the other. So Don't be surprised tomorrow. I know we talk a lot about the quicks getting the wickets out here, that Nathan Lyon grabs a five for himself.
All right, nearest the pin, Jules, how many do Pakistan make tomorrow? Will they be bowled out, and if so, for how many?
Well, that's a big question. Without notice.
Come on.
Is anyone going to take my answer seriously? Oh, look, they're 2 for 70 now. I'd say they'd be lucky to make 250. So I say 220. I reckon they'll be all out for 220.
Yeah, I think so. I think if we get it right early, as I said, Lyon builds some pressure and allow quick.
Just give me a number, please, Bradley.
240.
Got to get home before midnight comes around.
I'm enjoying myself so much, and I don't want to go yet.
270.
And Chu, the predictor from the back of the room?
The predictor says 194, Howie.
And Brett Lee, you're off mic, but after four beers, how many do you think the Pakistanis are going to make? 400.
400. What about
Brett
you,
Lee.
Mark Howie?
I think the Pakistanis will make 237 tomorrow, okay. But I hope we see a wonderful day's cricket. It's been a big day here on Triple M. Pakistan need 490 for the win. They're a long way off at the moment. They are 2 for 70. Tomorrow, 12:30 local time, 1:30 on the rest of the East Coast. On behalf of the entire team here in the central commentary position, it is the end of the night. Once again, we'll hopefully have your audience tomorrow. Triple M rocking Test cricket.
Triple M is the new home of Test match cricket. And the one game we look forward to the most? Boxing Day at the Triple MCG.
I mean, it's an honour to be involved.
We're so bloody excited.
We're giving away tickets,
including flights and accommodation.
You beauty!
To win,
keep listening to the first test on Triple M.
This is going to be a cracking series.
If you live in Melbourne, no flights for you. We're not that stupid.